Now, would, let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We're going to jump right in here. Go to Romans chapter 8. And let's look at, starting in verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led," how? "By the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You have received. Excuse me. You have received. Verse 16, "The Spirit," and I like to say himself because that's more accurate, "the Spirit himself," he's a person, "himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And so he bears witness with. That infers or expresses witness with. It just means that there's a co-witness, or there's a joint witness, you could say, or there's a bearing witness with. With what? My spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul or a mind, and you live in a body. Do you ever think about this? Your brain is not your mind. I'm going to say it again. Your brain is not your mind. Your brain is nothing more than an organ in your body that your mind expresses itself through. Well, we know that's for a fact because there are people that have their brain is impaired and they have a problem expressing themselves in this earth realm, but there's nothing wrong with their mind. Because there have been a lot of instances where people have been closed up in this the inside and they can't express themselves, but then when some facility has been put in their place. I'm thinking of one where I saw this young girl had a computer and she started typing out and expressing herself on the computer what she couldn't say and express through her brain. When you leave this earth, you don't lose your mind. So your mind, think about this. What does 1 Corinthians 2 say? We have the what? Mind of Christ. That doesn't mean you have the brain of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Just think about that for a moment. So the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. And we are to be led by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to say this, we are not led by ministry gifts. We are led by the Spirit of God. The ministry gifts are there to perfect us, but they are not to lead us. And so many people in the body of Christ, because they're immature and they don't know how to be led by the Spirit of God, they don't know the prompts and the witness, they'll get a prophecy and follow the prophecy and their lives are ruined because prophets and pastors could miss it. But God never misses it. He knows everything about everything. And that's not to diminish or to downplay a ministry gift or even prophecy. But when you get a word of prophecy, two things. It may confirm what God has already been revealing to you, or two, it can be something you've never heard before, but does it bear? There's a co-witness. Does it have a piece about what's being said? And if you don't have it, you know what you do? You put it on the shelf and you pray about it and ask God to unfold that to you and reveal it to you. That is not in any way to diminish. Sometimes God needs ministry gifts and prophetic words because you're too dull of hearing to hear. And sometimes a word comes forth to share something with you, but you need to recognize what's going on down here on the inside. Is that understood?
Yes.
Some of us have thoughts, we start moving in a direction, and all the time you think, yeah, this is the way to go. Down here, something's like, you know, something doesn't seem right with this. But meanwhile, you're confessing the words, you know, you get a prompt or a check not to do something, but you're going to quote Psalm 91. And you override the witness and the leading of God's Spirit with Scripture. You can't do that. I'll give you a perfect example, because this will hit home for every one of us. God's Spirit may tell you, don't eat that. And you say, bless God, everything I put in front of me is blessed in Jesus' name. Look, 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 look. Give me another plate. So you can't blame God when you have to call 911. Or you end up in the doctor's office because he's been prompting you, he's been revealing to you, don't do that. And sometimes I say this, thank God for doctors, because if it wasn't for doctors, we'd be dead. So my point in all of that is you can't quote Scripture and override his nudges and prompts. You cannot. That is not scriptural. I got to tell you, I've done it and learned the hard way because I didn't know. But I know better. Hallelujah. So we can be led by God's Spirit. We are a spirit. I like this particular translation. It's the New Century Version in Romans 8:14. It says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. You have to let him. You've got to recognize that he's in you. You've got to recognize that he's there and there's a prompt or a witness or a leading, and then you have to let him. Now, let's further just express this. Sometimes people get hung up on this word witness, prompting, revealing, leading. If I had a word to use that would express or capsulize it, it would be knowing. You know. You know something. And I believe I've been expressing this because it's been the most It's been the leading way that he has led me in two ways. There's been a hesitation to do something, or it seemed right to do. This seems right to do, or it doesn't. Or I know. And every one of us, it's the Spirit's responsibility. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. He is responsible to do what? Reveal and unfold the Scriptures to you. So when he reveals Scripture, when he leads you in Scripture, the inward witness, what happens? There's revelation. Did it come through reading? Did it come through burning the midnight oil? No. So it didn't come from knowledge in the sense of reading, reading, reading like you go to school. It came from an inner knowing. Just, you know. So when we ask the Holy Spirit, think about this. You have some choices, because this is typically what happens. I've got these choices to make. I got 4, 5, or 6 choices. Which one do I choose? Which one? I don't know. In the natural, I don't know. So what do? I'm talking about something practical now. What do? The Scripture says, trust in the Lord with what? All of thine heart. We're talking about Proverbs 3:5. And lean not to your own understanding. It does not say don't use it. Just don't lean to it. But you trust in God. You trust in the Lord. So I have these choices in front of me. The more I think about, so I do research. We do that every day, don't we? We look up. We got internet now, so we can sit there and we can look up information. We can call on the phone. Hey, what about this? So we get information about our choices. So in the natural, this one looks better than this one. But there has to be, and there is, an inner knowing of which one to choose. What do I mean by that? When I think on this, what's going on the inside? So I'm not leaning to what I know. I'm all the time, while I think about it, what's going on down here? So as you think about the choices that are in front of you, which one seems right? Does that ring a bell with you? Because I'll tell you, how do you get to the place of knowing which one is right? Let me ask this question. Every one of you who's married in here, everyone, at some point you said, it seems right to marry that person. Just seems right. What led you? Your heart. And your heart said something about that woman or that man seems right. Where? Not here. Here. Now I'm going to say this. We're not led by our emotions. But the inward moving of the Spirit can affect your emotions, but you're not led by them. That makes sense to anybody? It can affect your emotions, but we're not led by emotions. We're led by the Spirit of God. What seems right to do? Anybody ever have these experiences? You get ready to go, you got your bags packed, and you're getting ready to go, and you go, you know what? I think we need to wait another 10 or 15 minutes. I think we need to leave early today. It just seems like we should get in the car and go now. So you've all experienced that in one measure or another. It just seemed right to do this now. That's being led by the Holy Ghost. So you all know You can all see that you've had some experience. Sometimes we're looking for the spectacular, and we're missing the supernatural every moment of the day. He's leading. He's prompting. He's nudging. That's supernatural. May not be spectacular, but it's supernatural. Because you are a spirit being, and he leads you through your spirit. So, let me get back over here. So how do we identify, we spent just a moment here, how we identify the Spirit's witness? And every one of us, I mean, we could sit down and you probably could fill a page or two of times when you've had unctions or promptings or nudges to do something. And the wonderful thing is that when you follow that out, usually nothing happens. Nothing bad happens. That's a good thing. But one thing's for sure, when you follow his prompts, you are always at the right place at the right time. We miss catastrophes. We invest properly. We marry the right people. You're able to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you're ahead, not behind. You're always at the right place. You always know what to do. And it'll become easier and easier. Brother Hagin always used to say this. He used the simple terms, green light and red light. He said the more he would think about something, did it feel right? What do I mean? On the inside. Did it seem right? Or didn't it? Was there a hesitation? If there's a hesitation, it may be that you need to hold up. You need to stop. Let's take a moment and I want to spend a few moments here. Let's go over to Luke chapter 1. And I want us to take a look at some words that are used in Scripture that convey the Spirit's leading. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. I'm telling you, if you get a hold of this and you get it working and perfected, you're going to be a success in every area of your life. Every area of your life. What do I mean by that? Every one of us have family members, relatives, friends, and when they start pulling on you for whatever reason, you begin to look on the inside. Does it seem right to do or not? And it could be your mama and daddy. But if it doesn't seem right to do, then you don't do it. If it's your own children, if it doesn't seem right to do, you don't do it. Because you don't know everything. Now, sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, but if you're going to be a success with God, you're going to need to follow those leadings, whatever the cost. You can't follow your mind. You get to Luke 1. Look at verse 3. Luke chapter 1 and verse 3. So let me ask this question. Why did Luke pen the gospel? Does the scripture say an angel appeared to him? Did he have a vision? Did he have some spectacular visitation that said, Luke, write the Gospel of Luke? Look at verse 3. We're talking about the scripture here now. What does Luke say? It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. It seemed good to write and pen this. It didn't say he had a visitation. It didn't say he heard a voice. It didn't say an angel appeared to him. It said it seemed good. That's a key factor, and you're going to see that term used throughout Scripture. It seemed good. It seemed right to do. If you will just follow that, you'll start getting on the right path. You'll start having more successes in every choice that you make. Here's what we hear so often. I'm telling you, we hear this more often than you want to hear it. I didn't think that was the Holy Ghost. I thought that was me. I thought that was me thinking that. Anybody ever been there? I'll raise two hands. Feet. That's what I mean. Feet. Toes. I've been there. I just thought that was me. Till I began to recognize that there's someone in me thinking through me. I have the mind of Christ, and his responsibility is to let me know. Yes, he does speak, but more often, you know what to do. And a lot of us dismiss it because when we know what to do, we don't want to do that. So we dismiss it because, I don't do that. Devil, get behind me. I'm serious. I cast that vain imagination down. So you can see here, Luke said, it seemed good to me also. Let's go to Luke 2. You can see another account here. Luke chapter 2. And let's look at verse 25. This is talking about Simeon and his wife, Anna. And you can see here, look at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. It's talking about Jesus here. And what? The Holy Ghost was upon him. Now look at verse 26. And it was revealed unto him. It was revealed unto him. How? By the Holy Ghost. Now, take time and look at, when you look that word up, revealed, it means to what? To know something. But when you look at the other translations, it says led by the Spirit. So he was led by the Spirit to go and be in the temple at a certain place for the presentation of who? Jesus. He was what? He was led by the Spirit. And some of them, I like some of them, you know, it says he was inspired by the Spirit. The NIV says he was moved by the Spirit. Now, isn't it interesting when you read down through and you look at verse 36, and it says, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity with an husband. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." Now listen. "And she coming in that instant." Well, did he tell her, "Hey, come on over here"? No, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, led her to also come from where she was and be at the right place at the right time when the baby was presented. When we follow his prompts and his leadings, we'll be in the right place at the right time. Let's turn to Acts 15. Because you're going to see this term used. Acts 15. It seemed right. Seemed good. Acts 15, let's look at verse 22. This is in the King James. It says, "Then it pleased the apostles and ancients with the whole church." That's a miracle right there. Everybody was in agreement. "To choose men of their own company and to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren." Now look at verse 25. "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul." Look at verse 28. "It seemed good." Now here's the co-witness. "It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us." There's a co-witness. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. So there was a witness in the people. This seems right. This seems good. And the co-witness, the Holy Spirit, saying, "Yep, yep, 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 this is good." There's a co-witness. We're looking at Scripture here, right? This is how God leads. This is the way he leads. Look at verse 34. You're in the same chapter. Verse 34. What does it say? "Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to do what? To abide there still." Boy, I kind of think, boy, it'd be nice to be, it seemed right to dwell in Hawaii. I haven't gotten that one yet. Yeah, I see a lot of hands up. It seemed good to go to Hawaii. No, I'm just kidding. But you understand, here, the scripture's saying it pleased Silas, who? Silas, to abide there still. But look at the rest of the story. Look why the leading went that way. You know the story. It said, "Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do." Verse 37, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Oh, and look at the next verse. And Paul chose Silas and departed. It pleased Silas to abide there and stay, because he was going to be chosen to further some work with Paul because of a contention. Sometimes, you know, and I think about how God leads and orchestrates things in ministries. Pastor Clinton used to use this example, and I thought it was very good. He said, you know, when we see a tapestry, we always look at the one side of it and we see, wow, isn't that a beautiful tapestry? It's so beautiful. And we look at the other side and there's connections all over the place, and we see things, you know, the weaving on one side may be different than the outcome on the other side. And sometimes that's how God's Spirit will lead, but it's really the end product where the success is. And sometimes our leadings don't make any sense until you get there. What was it? He led Abraham. He went out, what? Not knowing. And sometimes we're going to have to go out just being led, not knowing. Just a prompt. A thought may be, just like I think about the J team. God didn't tell them. He just said, follow this prompt. A thought comes. You got to move. He doesn't give us everything. He just tells us, go over there. And when you get there, I'll give you a little more. That's the way it works. And if you cannot do that, see, you forfeit the benefits and the blessings by not following those prompts. See, because when you get over there, you still think, oh, okay, I see what's going on. Okay, I got it. No, you still don't have it. Because it'll still be unfolded to you as you continue to walk. How did it start? It just seemed right to do. See, and a lot of times, when something seems right to do, there may be things in your life when it seems right to go take a trip, you go, I can't do that. I can't do that. I got family, children. I got all of this stuff going on. I can't do that. But what does it seem right to do? See, that's the key. Because when we are led, I'm going to say this, that as we get closer to the return of Christ, it could mean the difference between life and death or destruction. Because the devil will nudge you and pressure you. You got to make a choice. 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 What are you going to do? You know, the devil will have you make a choice between two wrong decisions. The question is, does it seem right? Because if it doesn't seem right, you don't have to make a choice. You can just sit there and wait. I'm thinking about this. I asked Pastor Greg if it was okay to share this, and he said, sure. About maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, we do payroll, Pastor Greg and I, for now. I say for now. It'd be somebody else, but we do it right now. And so we go through a little process. Come in on Tuesday, we do our little whatever. And these are all cloud solutions that we use. So we do our little thing and we transfer to the payroll processing process. And so we alternate. He does it sometimes, I do it sometimes. So we alternate. And so he was doing it. And so I did my process, passed it. He did his and passed it along to the processor. And so there was something going on that day, and so got sidetracked, or we got, not sidetracked, but just had to jump into the next thing. You know, just like, hey, boom, let's jump. Let's get into this. We've got to do this. It was necessary. And so I don't ask. This is not babysitting. You do what you need to do, and we're off doing the next thing. So I'm not checking up, hey, did you do this, did you do that? You assume the process is done. So Tuesday goes by, and we have to get it in because it's direct deposit, and the process has to go. Otherwise, the staff doesn't get paid. And so Wednesday goes by, Thursday. I'm sitting at my computer. He had an appointment, so he was off the property, and I'm working. And the thought comes, check payroll. Check payroll. That was my first reaction, check payroll. Well, I've learned, I get into the payroll system, I log in, and I went, ooh, it wasn't transmitted. Ouch. So I go in, I look at it, hit accept. And so I call them and I said, you know, hey, you know, we got behind, or, you know, we missed this. Will this still get processed by tomorrow? Well, blah, blah, blah. And they said, probably. So when he comes back on the property, I said, hey, man, I said, guess what happened? I said, payroll wasn't processed. Yes, it was. I did. And I said, no, it wasn't. I said, because there's a timeline log. You can see every transaction you did. It was not accepted. So I said, somewhere you didn't do it. And he said, So we looked at our timeline and we said, oh, man, we got busy with this. I must not have done it. I said, okay, not a problem. It's all cool. Everything's straightened out. So you know me. I'm curious because I'm saying, wait a minute. God speaks to all of us. He had to have spoken to you or nudged you or prompted you. And I'm probing. I said, hey, man, did God speak to you? I did. I got to know because I'm saying if the scripture's right, he's speaking or he's witnessing or he's nudging or he's saying something, check it. I was the safety net. But he'd be a respecter of persons if he didn't. So he said, no. Then he paused. And he said, you know, I was thinking about that. He did speak to me on Wednesday. And I ignored it. And I said, really? I said, why? He said, well, every week when I have to do payroll, the thought comes, you didn't submit payroll. And he says, yes, I did. So a thought comes. But this thought, he said, when he reflected, was different. And he said, the thought came, check payroll. And he dismissed it because he said, when I do it, thoughts come, you didn't submit payroll. And he said, yes, I did. But you see, sometimes what will happen is, and he said, you know what? It was different, but I dismissed it. I said, well, it's all right. I said, you learned something. We learned something. You miss it, you learn. So I said, he did speak. And I said, a lot of times what happens with us is that we dismiss something because it's either familiar, but it's a little different, or it's not familiar, and we go, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, it was. Yes, it was. And so I rejoiced because I said, you know what? I've been there. I've dismissed things, or when I say things, thoughts, or something that didn't seem right to do. I pursued it, only to find out that wasn't a good choice. Or I'm learning more now. I'll give you an example. Last Wednesday, we had a choice to make. Were we going to have service or not service? It's a choice. So we're talking, considering the facts. We're looking at the weather. We're looking at reports. It's 3 o'clock. We said, you know what? We need to make a choice. We need to put something up on the web. We need to make people aware. We either are or we're not. So the more we thought about not having service or having service, it seemed right to not have service. The more we talked about it, the more we thought, we said, you know what, this seems right. This just seems right to not have service. I don't know why. It just seemed right. And I'm going to follow those things when we have choices to make and learn to follow them and not be concerned about what I think, people think. It seemed right. And that's the bottom line, because that's the witness. That's the co-witness inside. My spirit may be leading me to make a choice, but there's someone else living in me that knows more about it. And it will seem right to do something because you have the one inside you that will help you. Does that make sense? I hope this is making some sense here. Because this is where we live, making choices. Making choices every day. Do I go to the doctor? Don't I go to the doctor? Do I have a procedure or don't I have a procedure? Do I have an operation? Don't I have an operation? Because what can happen is we get, I'm telling you, my sister is a registered nurse, been in hospital, been in the OR for a lot, for years and years and years and years. And she said it's almost criminal sometime when people go and they sit before a panel of doctors and you're almost like, if you don't get this, this is going to happen. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. If you don't do this, you're going to die. Really? I've got the one inside me who will reveal what I should do. And I'm not going to be pressured into making a choice, because it could mean the difference between life and death. And we need to know, does it seem right to have this operation or not? And one way we know that when we talk about does it seem right, I'll give you a scripture. You know, you're all familiar. We're over here. I'll just read it to you. In Proverbs chapter 3, we were over there in a moment, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. But if you go down further in that, when it talks about in verse 13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. And then you read down and it talks about length of days is in her right hand and in her left hand riches and honor. But look at verse 17. It says, her ways, talking about wisdom, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So another way we could say it is, does it seem right? Do you have, you know, we throw terms around. Do you have peace about this? Well, when you have peace, it seems right. Seems right to do. You have peace about it. It's another way of saying that. So when you have to make a choice, do you have peace about it? Inner peace. See? And when you make that choice, don't worry about what people say. You need to be conscious of what did the Holy Ghost say? What did he bear witness to your spirit? Because the way he leads you is going to be different from somebody else. The thing that's the same is that he leads us all. So there's no cookie cutter thing. Well, he led them to do that, so that must... No. What is he leading you? What seems right to do? And this is not hearing voices, although he may speak to you in a still small voice. He may speak through someone else. He may. Let's not get stuck on how he get, but he's going to, even if someone comes to you and says, you know, I'm impressed to share this. What they're saying is right. That's right. So, do you have inner peace about this? So let me get back over here. We'll just take a minute here and just wrap up. We'll finish on a Wednesday. So we're back on Acts 15:34. And it says, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there. So you know when we see pleased, when you look at the other translations, you can take the time to do that. Young's literal translation, and also the New King James Version. It says, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. It just seemed good to stay. I don't know why, it just seemed right to stay. Does that make sense? I hope this is, the more we talk about this, you can begin, if nothing more, you can begin to go back in your life and begin to hook up with some of your experiences and say, yeah, it seemed right to do that, and it turned out right. And I chose to do this, but I kind of sensed it wasn't right, and you look at the results. It wasn't right, or it didn't end up the way you thought it should. You see, it needs to seem right to do. And when I talk about these things, put it all in context of we're led by the Spirit of God. We're not led by people. We're not led by pastors. We're not led by prophets. And we're not led by prophecy. Although those things are in the body for us, and God will move through those avenues for us, but the primary way he's going to lead you is through your spirit, and things will just seem right to do. It just seems right to do. And sometimes you're going to have to make some hard choices in life. Your head is saying, I don't want to do this, but it seems right to do. It just seems right to do. Everybody getting anything? Because he knows everything about everything. And we're talking about this is scripture that we're looking at, how he led those in the book of Acts, how those were led in the Gospels. Yes, they did have visitations. Yes, angels did appear to them. Those were more spectacular and did happen, but it wasn't the primary way in their life. See, if I would say this, if you're having spectacular visitations all the time, I would begin to question that. Because even Brother Hagin, when he was alive, said Jesus appeared to him on the eighth time in 1959, and Jesus appeared to him and began, he said, this is the way it's recorded. Brother Hagin said Jesus spent an hour and a half teaching him about the prophet's ministry. And he said, when he got up to leave, he said, I'm not going to lead you this way ever again. What did he mean by that? Through visitations and open visitations. So you can be led that way. Obviously, Jesus said, I'm not going to lead you this way ever again, so you can be led that way. You know, you have Jesus sit down and teach you, that's sure being led, isn't it? Personally. But he said, I'm not going to lead you that way ever again. He said, the primary way that I lead my children is through the inward witness. Well, that's what the scripture says. And so we need to train ourselves to recognize the promptings of the Spirit of God. Because every day, every one of us are loaded, some more than others, but every one of us have a multitude of choices to make in life. And I will say this, if you begin to look to the Spirit of God to help you, every choice could be a successful choice. Everyone. And I'm working at getting to the place that they are. Because it can mean success or failure. And I was thinking about something I was sharing with Pastor Jesse recently. One restaurant that we had been frequenting, the waitress there, you know, we had been going there for a while, and, you know, just she kind of took a liking to Pearson. You know, I don't know how you can't, but he just, you know, everybody who could just get up when he was at it, just get up and look over and say, hi. How do you not say hi to a two-year-old, you know? I mean, he just likable. And she just took a liking to him, and every time we'd come in, you know, she'd want to interact. So one conversation led to the next, and where are you from? Oh, we're all pastors, really? And so that kind of started a dialogue. And she came for a little bit, and her schedule just doesn't work because she works in that food service business, which weekends, that's it. So recently, the thought came. Come through the mall and walk this way. Okay. I'll walk this way. She's coming out. I'm walking on the sidewalk. She's getting out of her car, walking. Hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. What's the chances of you crossing paths at that very moment? The Holy Ghost was using me to intersect, to do what? Just see you. I didn't preach this. I just said, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. And she was with her daughter and just said hello. But the prompts, the nudges, God is looking to touch people. Help them. Love on them. And he's looking for us, and he's looking to use us, yes, to yield to those things, the thoughts that come, the things that seem right to do, so that people can be helped. Amen. That's where we are today. Mm-hmm. It's not, I mean, we benefit. But it's not about us. It's the body. You know, we say this. God is a spirit, and so is the devil. And if no one yielded to the devil, no one, I mean no one, he couldn't express himself here in this earth. He would have no access to speak through people, to think evil thoughts through people, because he's thinking through people to express in this earth realm evil through various channels. God, through his Spirit, lives in us and is looking to work through us to express God in love and healing and blessing to humanity. He needs this body, he needs this mind, he needs this spirit to live in and to work through. So when we get nudges and promptings to move in a particular direction, we need to do it. Yield. Even if you never see the fruit of it, doesn't matter. Amen. Hope you got a little something. If you just take a little bit, I'll just say this, if none of it made any sense, and it may, I don't know who's here. I don't know. And that's not to say that you should or shouldn't. But if you're here and it didn't make any sense, just get the CD. We don't charge for it. And get it and listen to it over and over again. Search the scriptures. Look in the scriptures. And I dare say that every one of you here, mature and not so mature in Christ, can relate to some of the things that I've shared. Every one of us. Everyone. Praise God. Father, we thank you for guiding us and leading us and revealing and unfolding the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of God who lives in us and breathes in us, expresses himself through us. We say God expresses himself through us. And we're so grateful and thankful, Father. And Father, if we haven't been sensitive, we repent now and we put our own thoughts and opinions aside and we look to you to move in us in a greater way, so that we'll make less and less and less mistakes in this life. And the choices that we make will turn out accurate and perfect every time. Help us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.